Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hour number two is underway here on News Radio 1120 KMOX. Coming up, we'll hear from Travis Ford in our next segment. The Billikens open the season Tuesday. John Mozeliak will join us to preview the GM meetings, which are coming up from Carlsbad, California. And we'll hear from Frank Viverito, president of the St. Louis Sports Commissioners. Will talk about the Musial Awards. Cardinals, by the way, reorganized their roster ahead of the free agency period. As you knew, they parted ways with infielder Greg Garcia, reliever Matt Bowman, and catcher Francisco Peña. Garcia was claimed by the San Diego Padres. He visited afterwards with Dan McLaughlin, the voice of the Cardinals on Fox Sports Midwest, who has, of course, the website ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Let's hear that conversation.
Well, in sports, it's bittersweet because you get to know the athlete and then you find out that the athlete is not only a great player, they're the best in the world at what they do, but they're also great citizens and human beings. And that's Greg Garcia. And it's bittersweet because he's leaving the Cardinals, but he gets to go back home and play for his hometown team and the San Diego Padres. And he joins us. And Greg, first of all, congratulations. I'm sure it's a little bittersweet for you to leave the Cardinals, a team that originally drafted you and groomed you to get to the big leagues, but you get the chance to go back home. So I'm sure it's exciting too.
Yeah, you know, I have nothing but great things to say about the Cardinals organization, from front office down to my teammates, to the fans. And like you said, they gave me the first opportunity to get to the big leagues, and I'll be forever grateful. And I have some pretty special moments in St. Louis, and I'm going to miss the guys, but like you said, it's on to the next, and I couldn't be happier to be with the San Diego Padres and to play in my backyard and in front of my friends and family. I just can't wait to get to work and to get to spring training.
I'm assuming you grew up a Padres fan. Is that correct?
Yeah, Padres, Tony Gwynn, Trevor Hoffman, all those guys. Yeah, absolutely. That was my childhood, going to Qualcomm Stadium and checking those guys out. And to be able to do that now is a dream come true.
What has this been like the last 24, 48 hours? Because you get word that you might not be in the plans for the Cardinals. So then, you know, you're kind of like, well, what's next? So what was it like for you?
It was a little uneasy, to be honest with you. I mean, I saw myself playing with the Cardinals for the rest of my career, and that's how I wanted to do it. And I love it there. It was a special place to my heart. And you know, to hear a team, they had nice things to say, and I get the business side of it, and I get all the other aspects of it. But to say it didn't hurt a little bit, I think that would mean that I didn't care about St. Louis that much. But I just cared so much about the city and my teammates and the coaching staff. So, you know, it was a weird time. It happened 2 days ago. They told me they were going to put me on waivers. And then you really don't know what's going to happen. You know, is there another team out there that believes in you? And, you know, to come to find out that the team that believes in me most is the team in my backyard. And I just am so motivated and so excited to get ready and to get out there and train and meet the guys and be a part of the team.
Have you thought about the fact that not only are you going to be playing at home, but you sleep in your own bed, which is something that gets overlooked in the world of baseball? Fan doesn't care. Fan just, you know, they cheer for their favorite guy and he shows up at 7 o'clock, and that's what fans do and that's what they should do.
Right.
But you get to stay in your own home, your own bed, see your baby, see your wife. I mean, that's a big deal.
That is a huge deal. I mean, I remember last year when we came out and played the Padres, I got to drive home from the field. I stayed at my house, drive home from the field and stayed at my house. And I remember thinking on the drive home, man, this would be sweet. It's just like, it's almost just like a normal job. You're at your home, you know, you're just going to the ballpark and you get to go home. Like you said, see your wife, see your kids and see your friends and family. It's the best case scenario for me. I couldn't be more excited and more motivated. And I'm just ecstatic today. It's top 3 days of my life for sure.
Have you ever asked like a David Freese or any other guys of what it's like to play in your hometown and some of the benefits and then some of the pitfalls too, of like ticket requests and appearances and those kind of things?
Yeah. You know, actually, I haven't really talked to Freezer about that, but you know, Piscotty just dealt with that last year, and I just actually played golf with him the other day. He came down to San Diego, played golf with him, and I just kind of picked his brain, like, how was that, man? It had to have been sweet, you know, and he had nothing but great things to say about it, and obviously he loved his time in St. Louis, but to play at home is just – It's just amazing, and I just can't wait for the opportunity.
What are you going to miss about St. Louis?
I think my teammates. I think my teammates, and you know, I hope I'm just so thankful for my teammates and the fans and the coaching staff, and I'm going to miss them a lot. To be able to say that I played with Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright, the Matt Carpenters, Colton Wongs. I mean, the list goes on and on. So many guys that have influenced me in a positive way, and just can't thank those guys enough. I'm truly blessed, and I'm going to miss those guys, but I know I'll be in touch and we'll be friends for life.
I know sometimes when it happens in pro sports, a guy gets traded or moved on. You know what? They don't get a lot of text messages. They don't get a lot of those voicemails. I know that's not the case with you. You're as popular of a guy in that clubhouse as you could find. So give me an idea what it's been like for Greg Garcia and his phone here recently in the last 48 hours and what you've been dealing with.
I was telling my dad, the best way I can describe it was when I got my first, you know, call up to the big leagues in 2014, it's the same kind of outpouring of just love, and it makes me feel so good, and I just appreciate all my friends and family, and they know how much this means to me, and I just can't thank them all enough, and I'm truly, truly blessed.
What was your favorite moment in St. Louis?
Oh, man, I think there's so many great ones. I mean, I think hitting my first home run and against the Cubs and the pinch hit homer, I'll never forget that, and getting the standing ovation from the crowd and making my debut in Busch Stadium was just something I'm going to cherish forever. And then, obviously, you know, the playoffs in 2016 and then coming so close the last 2 years and just fighting with the boys and just grinding and just being a part of one of the greatest organizations in all of sports, not just baseball, is something that I'm always going to cherish forever. And you know, to say that I was a St. Louis Cardinal really means a lot to me.
I don't know the answer to this. Where was your baby born?
She was actually born in St. Louis.
That's what I thought.
She's got some St. Louis ties, man. She had her first breath was in St. Louis, so she'll know that. And yeah, and she actually ran the bases one time with me after one of the games. So she's planted in St. Louis a little bit too.
How cool is that? Now your dad, of course, and your grandfather from East St. Louis, but you know, the tie-in with your family in the game of baseball and with the Padres. Can you put that in perspective of what that's going to be like to think about putting on that uniform and understanding your family history with that particular uniform?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's just a dream come true. And then not only that, I just see there's so much excitement around San Diego right now with the baseball team, and there's a lot of talented players on that roster. And I think that the team is super close, and I know everyone's getting excited to get back to work. And for me to be able to go put the Padres name across my chest and run out every single day in San Diego and play in front of my hometown, you know, friends, family, it's something that's going to keep me motivated every single day. And I'm just so thankful. So, so thankful.
Have they talked about a role for you?
You know what? I talked with Andy today, and we didn't really get into that too much. I think that was probably my fault because I was just so excited and everything like that. But I think they know that I just would like St. Louis, whatever they need me to do, you know, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready to compete. I help my teammates any way I can. And the most important thing is just get wins for the Padres.
I think the thing you're going to miss the most, to be quite honest with you, is the chats with myself or the cat. And
oh, my goodness.
And I think when January hits and we're in the middle of Missouri and you're not in the back of the bus on a caravan, that's when it's going to get to me.
Yeah, I might shed a tear. I might shed a tear thinking about you guys on those windy roads and heading out in the caravan. But I'm going to miss those, man. Those were fun. I enjoyed all those caravans. I enjoyed the cat, all the interactions and fun times in the clubhouse. So those are a lot of memories that I'll never forget and cherish forever, for sure.
You are all class, my man, and I'm so happy for you for the chance to go back home, which is amazing, which is what every player would love to do. And if anybody deserves it, you deserve it. You did a great job here in St. Louis, and I wish you nothing but the best.
All right, that means a lot to me. I really appreciate it, Dan, and I appreciate all the fans in St. Louis and all my teammates. I just can't thank you guys enough, and I'm just truly blessed.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
How good was that? Dan McLaughlin from Fox Sports Midwest with Greg Garcia off to San Diego for Greg Garcia after he was released by the Cardinals, claimed by his hometown team. Wow. More interviews like that. Really great stuff. If you go to scoopswithdannymack.com, you can hear it. And we thank Dan for sharing that interview with us, that we could play it for you this Sunday morning here on Sports on a Sunday. When we return, we're going to talk hoops with Billikens head coach Travis Ford up next on KMOX. Sports on a Sunday on KMOX. I'm Mike Kelly. We're with you until 12 noon. Coming up in our next segment, we'll visit with the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. We'll also visit with Frank Viverito from the St. Louis Sports Commission, because coming up, the Musial Awards later this month. But with us now, big night coming up Tuesday at Chaffetz is the St. Louis University Billikens open up a really, really highly anticipated season, taking on Southeast Missouri State. Billikens head coach Travis Ford is with me this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. Thank you.
Hey, we talked a couple of weeks ago before you played your exhibition games, and I could tell in your voice while you were very happy with how things were coming together, you still needed that time. So how beneficial have the last couple of weeks been, first of all, on the practice court, and then we'll kind of dive into the exhibition games against Quincy and Umsel?
Well, probably probably not as gone as well as I'd hope because of injuries. We just haven't been able to, you know, and everybody goes through it. But this time of year, as you mentioned, when you start heading into 2 weeks before your first game, you hope to really get some continuity and, you know, start sharpening everything up and defining everything. And it's really been hard for us just because we just hadn't had the bodies in practice, and we've had to move guys in practice to play different positions that they probably won't be playing in the games, but you have to do it in order to just get to 5-on-5 during practice. So from that standpoint, you know, we've had to do a lot of just 5-on-0 offensive things, you know, some things defensively just to get our fundamentals down. The competition hasn't been great in practice, which has been very unusual for us. So that's got me concerned. That's got me very concerned until we get everybody healthy. Just the practice time hasn't been used as much as I would like competitively. But, hey, everybody goes through it. Everybody wants more time during this time of year. As games get closer, every coach wishes they had a couple more weeks.
Who are the players that have been impacted the most by injuries?
We've had Casey Hankton out. We had him out for about 3 weeks with a toe injury. He comes back and plays in the second exhibition game and gets a grade 2 ankle sprain. Now he's out again probably for another week or so. So he's been out. Demaris Jacobs has been out. Elliot Welmer has been out now for two weeks or 3 weeks. And then we've had, you know, Jordan Goodwin missed about a week or so with a broken nose. And, you know, we'd be here all day discussing all of our injuries.
Go ahead.
That's
I'm sorry.
A short glimpse. You that's know, just a short version.
Yeah. And Tremaine was impacted as well. Okay. So we talked last week, with Chris May as he joined us, just a little bit on his take on the Quincy game. Since then you've played Umsel through two games, both exhibition campaigns. What's kind of captured your attention about this group?
Well, we saw the good and the bad, Mike. The good and the bad. First game against Quincy did a lot of good. 21 assists, 10 turnovers. Held our opponents to, you know, almost 20% shooting. Very, very unselfish through 40 minutes. Our effort, attitude, competitive nature never wavered for 40 minutes. And then we come back against Umsel, and we see just the opposite, 24 turnovers for the Billikens in that game. I give Umsel a lot of credit. Coach Sunvold, their team was very, very gritty, very tough, very aggressive throughout the whole game. You know, kept it within 10 even in the second half. We went up 20 midway second half, but that really didn't tell the tale. We were very sloppy the second game. Just didn't execute very well, gave up too many points in transition. I could go down the line, but those are good. You know, we get to learn from those. We get to learn from those where in the first game, you know, it was hard. We didn't do a lot wrong in the first game. So it was hard, you know, a lot of times to teach as much as you'd like. So the second game, we had a lot of teaching points, especially watching film and then carrying it over to practice.
You know, as you know, I've known Bob for a long time and obviously have a great relationship with him and respect what what he does at UMSL. We don't talk about his team nearly enough. There was a story in the newspaper. He was talking about you and the time that he spent recruiting you and how impressed he was with what you were doing with your team. Let's flip it. How impressed are you with what he's done with his team so far?
Extremely impressive. Extremely. He has a lot of new players. And, you know, they probably could have looked at our first game against Quincy, where we won by 40, and they're in the same league as Quincy, and said, uh-oh, you know, goodness, his team never once wavered. They really were extremely competitive. I'll be honest with you, they, showing our guys film, they were probably more aggressive and tougher than we were as far as how they guarded us. They blew up a lot of our screens. They had us backing up on our heels. They had us running our offense towards the half-court line. I had a lot of respect for how his team played and how they toughed through it. At the end of the day, we were just a little more athletic, probably have a little more talent. But Bob Sumbo does a terrific job. You know, at the D2 level, a lot of times you have a lot of roster changes. Mm-hmm. That happens. He's done an extremely terrific job managing those things. Very, very good defensively. Very good defensively. You know, I think they're going to have a chance to have a good year. Kind of like us. Once they get everybody, you know, everybody's going to need playing time because we have so many new guys. And there's nothing like playing games. You can practice forever. There's nothing like playing games. So once they get some games under their belt, I think they're going to be a very good team.
You open with three at home, Southeast Missouri State on Tuesday, then Troy, then followed by North Alabama before you hit the road to play against Seton Hall. And then, of course, you'll play Pittsburgh in the Barclays Center. How limited are you going to be from a health standpoint against Southeast Missouri State coming up on Tuesday night?
You know, it's kind of be determined.
Sure.
I doubt if Casey Hankton will be available. It doesn't look good for him right now for that game, most likely. I think, you know, Elliot Wilmer will not play in that game. The rest of the guys are really day-to-day. So, you know, we'll just have to see who gets to practice. I'm not big on playing guys that don't get to practice the day before, 2 days before the game. I'm not very big on that. So we'll see what happens.
How's Fred Thatch done so far?
Oh, Fred is doing terrific. Fred is the ultimate competitor, just physically competes at a very high level, wants to win in the worst way, loves to compete. I think his strength as of right now, Lind on the defensive end, can really be a stopper for us. Very aggressive defensively. If there's a guy that we need to be stopped, there's a good chance he'll be on that guy. He's really learned a lot. He's come a long way in probably about the last 2 weeks offensively as far as understanding what we need and want out of him and not trying to make the game too difficult on the offensive end. That's what a lot of freshmen tend to do because they've had so much freedom in high school that it's tough to translate early when you come to college and you got good players around you where you don't have to create as much, you don't have to force as much. We don't need you to do that. He's learned to really play within the offense, and he's getting better every day.
Hey, Travis, thanks for your time this morning. Have a terrific season, and good luck on Tuesday night.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
We look forward to more conversations as the season rolls on. That's Travis Ford. He and the Billikens hosting Southeast Missouri State at Chaffetz coming up on Tuesday evening. I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday. We'll talk with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It is 11:31 in St. Louis. I'm Mike Kelly. Coming up in our next segment, Frank Viverito, the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, will talk about the Musial Awards with us, and we'll preview that event coming up a little bit later this month. But with us now is the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. Good morning. How have you been, by the way?
Well, I've been doing well, Mike. You know, really gearing up. For this offseason, I would say like majority of the stress, candidly, has been just trying to get this major league staff put together and as well as address our minor league coaching needs. So it's even though we haven't been playing baseball, it's been a very busy few weeks.
Yeah, what do you like about the way the staff has come together at the major league level?
Well, I'm thrilled to welcome back Jeff Albert, obviously somebody that we're connected to from – back in his days at the minor league level before he left for Houston. But, you know, he's a talented guy. He's got a vision for what really sort of matches up with what we're trying to do. And so, you know, between Mike Schilt and Ollie Marmol, there's relationships there. And I think the connection and really the modernization of what Jeff brings to us is really critical.
So baseball's annual GM meetings will get underway really in earnest on Tuesday in Carlsbad. Do you go out tomorrow? Is that kind of the plan?
Yeah, I'd actually say they kind of get going tomorrow.
Okay.
I get in about midday. I already have a few meetings lined up with some agents, so it should hit the ground running. Tomorrow night is more of a social affair and awards for general managers or management, and then cocktail party type thing. But then ultimately meetings begin on Tuesday and Wednesday as far as the industry meetings go. But a lot of what takes place at the GM meetings is meeting with clubs and meeting with agents to try to really set the next 4 to 6 weeks of how you're going to spend your time, whether it's in the trade market or free agent market, and really trying to figure out how to best utilize it.
So you really come out of there kind of with a handle on what the marketplace is going to bear, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. You know, every year is different. But, for example, when we were engaged, like with Matt Holliday as a free agent, for example, those discussions really began in earnest at the GM meetings. And then you may remember when we traded for Jason Hayward, for mm-hmm. example. That was really something that a lot of our energy went into at the GM meetings, and subsequently ended up really completing that deal the following Monday. So, you know, things can move quickly, things can move slow, but the importance of the meetings are, from an industry standpoint, relevant, but really for a directional standpoint on how your offseason may play out is critical.
I want to get into the industry in just a moment. I want to stay, though, with kind of the format, if you will. Is it a matter of you setting individual time aside with other general managers and mutually discussing each other's needs to see if there's a fit? Is that simply how it works?
Yeah, I would say it's a little less formal than saying, you know, I'll come over to your room and we'll meet at like 2 o'clock. I think like that was very common like 15, 20 years ago. Now it's more of when we have these gatherings, you know, I may approach an individual and a team and say, hey, here's what we're trying to do. We would have some interest in X, Y, or Z. Is there something we should talk about, or is this something you want to think about and get back to me? So, you know, everybody kind of goes about it a little differently, but I would say that the initial connection is something that myself, Mike Gersh, Moises Rodriguez, over the next really 4 days have to be pretty laser focused and make sure that we don't leave there with something that we wish we had approached and we failed to do so.
So you mentioned you've got a conversation scheduled or meeting scheduled with you know, perhaps some agents or with some agents. Bryce Harper, clearly a player not only coveted by Cardinal fans but by many teams as well. Do you have anything scheduled with Scott Boras?
So real quickly, I never. And you know this, we've been very long. I never get into like, you know, who we're talking with or why, but obviously somebody like Scott Boras represents a lot of players. So I imagine Scott and I will definitely connect like we have for the last two decades at winter or at GM meetings. So that will likely happen.
And I have to ask the question, though I know the answer. Speaking of that agent relationship. And those conversations with general managers, and I think I know the answer to this, but again, I'm just going to throw it out there for the benefit of the listener as well. The agent, as you know, has a fiduciary responsibility right to the client. So in your
Correct.
Experiences, I mean, are those conversations transparent in terms of those the ones you have with agents?
I would say for the most part, yes. I've been doing this a long time, and I'm sure there's been a time where I have felt my offer or interest was not either articulated in the best way or maybe it never got there. But I would say, you know, that's a very, very rare example. I think for the most part that prior relationship with the majority of this current class of agents reaches back over two decades. So I think that that really does help. I would say the agent, you know, market is changing, though. As you guys witnessed this past week, a lead agent at CAA became the general manager for the Mets. So I think the landscape of who's running what is shifting a little bit. There's been a couple other agencies that have broken up over the last 2 years. So it's not quite as easy to follow, if you will, that as it was 2 years back. But clearly, you know, the people that we feel we need to be dealing with, we've identified, and, you know, that'll be the goal this week.
As you know, ultimately, it becomes quite a bit about the do-re-mi, and when do-re-mi, I'm talking about the financial implications for the individual players. When you start talking about selling this franchise, selling St. Louis, aside from the great fan base, what are some of the other tangible items that you try to sell to people that aren't, you know, that you're trying to approach?
Well, I would sum it up this way. I think it's a great city. It's an incredible environment to play in. Why is it great to play here? You're in the center of the country, so wherever you're from, you can get to it relatively quickly. I think one of the great selling points that players always tell me is, like, you just don't deal with traffic. It's just, you can get to the ballpark and you can get home. And when you think about the different places to live now, you can live downtown and literally walk to work. You can live in Central West End and you're within, you know, 7 minutes of the ballpark. You can live in Clayton and have a little bit more of a high-rise feel, or at least a lot of dynamic restaurants to go to. Or you could, you know, choose like some of our players do and live more out in the suburbs. But, you know, we have a lot to offer. It's something that I think from a baseball standpoint too, we continue to upgrade our internal infrastructure. We want this to be an attractive place that players feel like when they're coming to work, it's a great place to work. And so, you know, that's why you've seen us over the last few years really ramp up our medical staff, mm-hmm. our performance staff, and all of these types of investments are, of course, trying to make the athlete, you know, play at a higher level or more elite level. But having said that, we also want it to be that when players are looking at the variety of places that they may choose to play, that they understand that we are competitive and offer more, if you will, on the menu than maybe other teams do. And that's our goal. And so, you know, I do feel like this is still a very attractive place to come play. You know, clearly we have great advocates who have spent time here, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, the generation of Jim Edmonds and Mark McGuire to Matt Holliday to Lance Berkman. But they'll tell people this is a wonderful place to go to work every day. And as you can imagine, if you're a player and you know, majority of the games is 30,000+, that's pretty fun. Whereas there's a lot of places that just can't say that.
Jim Edmonds' involvement with the club has grown, obviously, over the last couple of years. Obviously, his involvement with Fox Sports Midwest and being involved in the TV broadcast. Any plans to perhaps bring him into spring training as maybe an instructor?
Oh, he'll always have that open door with us. Obviously, you know, my time with the Cardinals, great relationship with Jim, special guy, and I do think he has a lot to bring to the on-field portion of this as well. So absolutely, we'll always be welcome.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about industry. Some of the topics that you anticipate coming up when you and your colleagues sit down at the general manager meetings regarding baseball, the industry itself.
You know, I looked at the agenda briefly just the other day, but I think, like, you know, obviously technology is going to be on the forefront, understanding how teams are utilizing it, the sign stealing, the finger pointing of what's happening in our game right now is something that certainly I think needs to be addressed. And looking forward to hearing that conversation and where that goes. There's a lot of vanilla topics that always get discussed. And, you know, I think one that you'll probably discuss, but I doubt we'll have a solution to, but will be just how we think about September and those rosters. Mm-hmm. I always have been an advocate for a more conservative approach, if you will, in September, meaning you play the game one way for 5 months, and then all of a sudden for the month of September, when it would appear games mean more, even though they're all created equal, but we play with a different set of rules. And so that is something that I think can be a little frustrating. And so I would definitely be pushing for more dialogue on that topic to see if maybe perhaps we could get to a point where you could only use 25 players in September, but you have the ability to sort of rotate that roster on a daily basis.
Finally, and it's been a while since we've had a chance to speak in this format. Give me an update, if you will, on the health of Dexter Fowler and how you envision him fitting into your plans in 2019.
Well, the vision for Dex hasn't changed. I do think the health part of this is something that might dictate what that looks like. But last I heard is he's progressing well. I think he was going to go get another scan early part of November. So I would imagine that's either this week or early next. And that should give us an indication on really the healing process. And then based on that, would dictate what those next steps look like. So perhaps you and I should just put a little note to revisit that each week until I get you a better answer.
All right, man. I'll put it on my calendar. Hey, as you know, I sincerely appreciate your time. Travel safe and have a productive set of conversations in Carlsbad.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. That is the president of baseball operations for the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak. I'm Mike Kelly. We're approaching 11:44 in St. Louis. When we return, we'll talk about the Musial Awards with Frank Viverito on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
You know, the St. Louis Sports Commission does a terrific, terrific job in our community in not only bringing events, but also bringing awareness to a number of things and the way that sports can help impact lives. And with us is a guy who for a long time has been the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission. He's a good friend as well. Frank Viverito, good morning. How are you?
Hello, Mike. I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Well, I'm doing terrific. Thank you. Thank you. So it's called The Greatest Night in Sports. Just describe for our listeners, if they haven't been there, what the Musial Awards are all about.
Well, if you haven't been to the Musial Awards, you have to go, okay? They are on the way to becoming the most important awards for sports anywhere. They come from our community. They celebrate the best in sportsmanship from the past year around the country. The show is entertaining. The show is affordable. You'll see some icons honored. You'll hear some stories that you haven't heard before. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. It's November 17th at the Stiefel Theater, and if I were you, I just wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, and among those that have been honored previously, of course, the great and late Arnold Palmer was in St. Louis a few years back to receive an award. Carl Edwards from Columbia, Missouri, the NASCAR racing, at the time, he was an icon, one of the most popular guys on the circuit, called this the neatest event that he'd ever been a part of.
That's exactly right. And we love to hear those comments because we can sort of use them to talk about the event into the future. But he's right, because everybody who's honored, you know, it takes a different perspective on, you know, how to be human, how to do the right thing. And the stories that we have to look forward to this year, every single one of them, we have 9 honorees, and every single one of them is better than the next.
Yeah, and I want to get to them in just a second. But again, one of those previous people that were honored or that have been honored, Ernie Johnson from TNT, and I had a friend of mine, Tom Holly, that recommended to me his book, Unscripted, and a terrific book in which he makes reference to that night and how surprised he was that he even got the call about being a part of the Musial Awards.
Yeah, and I remember his wife after the show saying something that really stuck with me. She said, Ernie has been honored over and over and over and over again for broadcasting. She said, this is the first time Ernie was ever honored for being a nice guy, and that's what Ernie is more than anything else.
Well, and part of the reason why you honored him is because, you know, the late Stuart Scott and he were both up for an Emmy. Ernie won the Emmy and said, this doesn't go to me. This should go to Stuart Scott.
And, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And he presented it to Stuart's daughters,
right,
who were in the audience that night. And for the ensuing Musial Awards, we had Stuart's daughters on stage, and they presented the Musial Award to Ernie.
Tell me some of the stories that we should look forward to coming up on the evening of November the 17th.
Okay, well, the person who's going to steal the show, kind of no matter what, is Sister Jean from Loyola. Okay, she's 99 years old. She's going strong, and we can't wait to have her grace our event. She'll win the award, the Musial Award for Extraordinary Character. Maybe the story I like the most is the high school baseball story from Minnesota, where the kid struck out a batter who turned out to be his best friend to win a district title in Minnesota. And instead of celebrating with his teammates, he ran to home plate to hug his buddy, and we'll have his buddy on stage to present the Musial Award to him. We're delighted to have Jim Tomey here, mm-hmm, to receive the Lifetime Achievement Award. Everybody tells you that he's a better person than a baseball player. He's a darn good baseball player. And then we're also going to honor a guy named Ozzie Smith for the incredible work that he did with the PGA Reach. You know, people at his level are put in positions like that all the time, and they go to a couple meetings, and that's that. But I don't know that there's ever been an advocate for kids and somebody in a position like that who worked harder than Ozzie, and it makes us so happy to connect with the PGA Championship, because the line that sticks with me from the PGA was you know, one of the objectives for this event was to show St. Louis in a different, more positive, mm-hmm, light. And I think that's exactly what the PGA Championship did, and I think that's exactly what the Musial Awards does.
What about tickets? How do folks get tickets?
Well, tickets are easy to get at musialawards.com. The prices are start at just $10, and our top price is $50, and those tickets are going pretty quickly this year, so that's great news. Everything that you want to know, all the honorees, details of the night, it's 7:30 start at Stiefel Theater on Saturday, November 17th. Everything's out there at musealawards.com.
Okay, now let me pick your brain about a couple of other items in the remaining moments that we have left. If I said to you, describe how big of a win the PGA Championship at Belle Reve was for this region, you would say what?
I would say enormous. You know, it was exactly as we wanted it to be. You know, you couldn't plan the Tiger Woods part, but you could plan the St. Louis part. And you knew that these fans and sponsors were going to rise to the occasion, because they do all the time, whether it's the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, whether it's the NHL Winter Classic, whether it's the NCAA Final Four, and they sure turned out in big numbers. They behaved, and they made this region proud.
Yeah, they certainly did. Will we see MLS soccer in the near future?
I have to say yes. I cannot believe that there's a league in the country that wouldn't want the Taylor Cavanaugh ownership group among them. I mean, that seems to be as good as any city's going to be able to do. And I think MLS has wanted to come here all along, and I really believe that the reception from the fans will be phenomenal, because this will be, you know, of us. This will connect to our history. This has been a long time coming, and it's, you know, another way to present St. Louis in a different, more positive light. So, you know, I'm hoping that this time it's for real.
Give our listeners some insight, too. And is there anything else that we should keep an eye on for perhaps events in the future coming from the St. Louis Sports Commission and some of your partners?
Absolutely. You know, the next event that we're hoping for an announcement pretty quickly would be the NHL All-Star Game. And that could happen as soon as 2020, which would be like 14 months from now. So we'd have a lot of work to do if that happens. And the Blues have been working on that one for a long time. We're also coming down the stretch for a bid for the United States Olympic gymnastics trials. We had just the men's trials here in 2016, and we're bidding for the men and women in 2020. And despite all the horrible issues that have that have come up connected to the USA Gymnastics organization, the kids went to Doha this past week and won another world championship, and Simone Biles won six medals, and what a thrill it would be to have her and have them back in St. Louis, and that event would be as soon as June of 2020. So we're always looking down the road at something.
Hey, Frank, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, have a great week.
You too.
All right, thank you. Frank Viverito from the St. Louis Sports Commission. That's going to do it for Sports on a Sunday. Hope you enjoyed the last 2 hours. Where thanks to Frank, John Mozeliak, Travis Ford, Dan McLaughlin with Greg Garcia, Dennis Dodd, Barry Odoman, John Kelleher. Thanks to Zach Schmidt for running the board. I'm Mike Kelly. We'll talk to you next Sunday right here on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.